biblical stewardship series that we do. And we've been going several weeks on this, and we began talking about the areas of priority in our lives. And if things operate correctly, they have to operate according to the owner's manual. Because the owner is the designer. And the designer understands how things are supposed to work properly. And when things are used in an improper manner, they do not produce the results for which they were designed to do. Does that make sense? I mean, most of us guys do not like reading instructions. When you put together, you don't read the instructions. When you want to use something, many times we are guilty of not reading the instructions. And we mess up something because we didn't use it according to the designer's plan, did we? And it's no different with you in your life. You have a designer. You have a creator that created you on purpose and for purpose. Amen? So when we begin to look and see what the designer's instruction book says about the way that life is supposed to work correctly, we need to align our lives with those instructions. So there is a priority in life. If we are going to have maximum output in our lives where the kingdom of God is concerned, every one of us are unique. There's none like me. There's not another human being like me. There's not another human being like you. You're unique. You are uniquely designed by God on purpose, with purpose. And your design is to bring glory to God. That's why you're here. You're not here just for yourself. You're here for God's pleasure. And you say, well, I like being me. Well, God wants you to be you, but you need to be about His pleasure. And honestly, the only way that you'll ever find fulfillment in life is doing it God's way. That's the only way that you'll ever be completely satisfied with life. And you will find your full potential is when you do things God's way. First week we talked about the most important thing, and that's you and God. You will answer for you. No one else in this life will answer for you. You will answer for you. One day, you by yourself will stand before God and you'll give an account for you. You won't be able to say, well, Lord, if my wife had been, or if my husband would have been, if my kids would have been, if I hadn't been raised in this circumstance, it would have been different. No. It'll be you and God alone, and you will stand before God, and you'll give an account for you. Your spouse will give an account for themselves. Your children will stand before God, and they'll give an account for themselves. Every one of us. There won't be any blame game going on. It'll be you and God. So that's why it's so important that in what's in our world is you are in your world. One thing that I have learned, I can get away from my wife if I want to, but I can't get away from me. So I just shoot myself. Well, you're still not away from you. You're always going to be with you. And the management of you is the key to stewardship. Because when you make Jesus Lord, you no longer belong to yourself. You belong to God. You belong to Him anyway in the sense that He is the Creator. But when you give Him your heart, you're saying, Jesus, I'm going to follow You. And the rest of your life is learning the pursuit of that. And that's why that's so important. And that's why we have to keep that right. And it's not enough for me to say, well, you know, Ashley offended me. Or so-and-so offended me. I can't help how Ashley treats me. I can't help what somebody says about me. Or that somebody does something that I don't like. I am only responsible for my reaction to what happens in my world. So my relationship with God has got to be the most important thing that goes on in my world. The next week we talked about our relationships. We talked about our relationship with God, and then we talked about the next most important relationship is, besides you and God, if you're married, is you and your spouse. God made families. God's design is families, husband and wife, together, having children, raising children. But it has to start with the bond of that marriage. And that's why that is the second most important decision and the second most important relationship in your life. You have to manage that relationship. It's not okay for you to say, well, my wife won't. Or my spouse won't. They won't do this. They won't do that. They did it. No. We have responsibility to manage our relationship, our attitude towards our spouse. We can't be selfish. Let me tell you something. When we honestly look at ourselves, people, as Americans, and as American Christians, it's amazing how selfish we really are. And we have to work on that all the time. We can get so me-conscious. It's about me. It's about my happiness. It's about this. And she don't make me happy, or he don't make me happy. And we get into that deal. No. I have to manage my attitude and my relationship with my spouse. She has to do the same thing. It's so important that that becomes a priority in our world. I am overwhelmed and amazed at how much divorce is going on, not only in our nation, but in our churches. It's amazing to me. Listen, divorce should be avoided at all cost. I know that there's sometimes that there's nothing that can be done about it, but divorce is a very hard thing. What's in your world? Your relationship with your spouse. It is so important. And when we think about our priorities, our spouse becomes before our children. Your spouse becomes before your children. One day your children will leave. And if the spousal relationship is not there, the marriage will no longer be there. Children are important, aren't they? Because they're the next one on the list. Your family is the next important on the list. In fact, your family is more important than your friends. They're more important than your friends. Doing things with your family is such an important thing. And it ought to go without saying that families go to church, okay? But families need to do other things together too. And then we talked about our friends. Friends are an important thing. You say, man, if I manage my world, I'm going to be busy. Yeah. Life is busy. Have you noticed that lately? Life is busy. And if we do not manage it, it will control us. Therefore, we have to set down and we have to set priorities of the things that are in our world. There are some things that we have to say no to because they interfere with the priorities that we have set. If we set our priorities properly, our world will work better. Not that you will not have difficulties, not that you will not have challenges, but your world will work so much better. And then we have a responsibility to, and I call it this, strangers, people that we don't know. We have a responsibility to reach out to other people. This is the Great Commission. It didn't say go into all the world and reach your family. Although you do need to be a witness to your family by your lifestyle. But we have a responsibility to strangers, people that we don't know. And that's the order of priority. Last week, we talked about the hard one. Managing your time. Managing your time. Setting the priorities of how you spend your time. Today, we're going to talk about money. Everybody say, yay. Money. You say, well, why didn't you talk about... So most people, when they talk about stewardship, they're talking about money, giving. We put that at the bottom because that's the least important in God's kingdom. But I saved it to last because in most of our lives, It is the most important thing that we deal with. We spend a lot of time dealing with money, don't we? More time than we like to think. Wouldn't it be wonderful if money was not even in the picture? That if money was no object? Do you know what we could do in this church if money was no object? But we're forced in this life to deal with money. Money is not a bad thing. People say, well, you know, the Bible says money is the root of all evil. No, it didn't. It said the love of money is the root of all evil. We are all forced to deal with money. In fact, let me say this. I believe that in God's economy, that if we will handle money properly, according to the designer's handbook, that God will promote us in the kingdom. If we are not faithful with that which is least, how are we going to be over that which is precious? Okay, turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 16. And we're going to begin with verse 10. And it says, he who is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon or money, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you've not been faithful in that which is another man's, what in your world is another man's? Everything. You don't own you. You don't own your body. You don't own your spouse. You don't own your children. You don't own your friends. You own nothing. You don't own your money. Everything in your world is on loan. You're not an owner. You are a steward. And when we get in trouble and we get outside of the operator's instruction for the way that things are designed is when we begin to act like owners. This is my body. I'll do with it what I want. Well, you can do that, but there's a price to pay. Okay? This is reflected a whole lot. Attitude is reflected in the way that we deal with money. Because money is such an important thing in our society. When you control money, you control influence. Money is influential. If all of a sudden you became a billionaire, you would see the scope of the influence that you could have. Money is power. Money is influence. Now, money has no nature of its own, but it reflects the nature in us. Money has no character of its own, but it reflects our character. I have seen people who have come into... I know a fellow one time, he was just a common laborer. He was making almost minimum wage. And he was pretty good at what he did. As a common laborer making minimum wage. And they promoted him to management. And I think he started making twice or three times what he was making. All of a sudden, he became a terror. He became arrogant. He became... Some other stuff come out. Say, well, look what money did to him. No, it wasn't money that did that to him. But the power and the influence that came into his life reveal the true character of the man. And it wasn't long before he was right back at the level that he was at. Because you will rise or fall to the level of the way that you deal with money. It gets quiet when you talk about this. Say, yeah. Are you going to talk about giving? Yeah, later. But we're talking about what money does in people's lives. The Bible admonishes us a whole lot about money and our relationship to it and the way that it controls our life. It reveals our heart. It reveals our character. Verse 12. And if you've not been faithful in that which is another man's, who will give you that what is your own? No servant can serve two masters. Think of this. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. You cannot serve money. I wrote this quote down, and I really like this. It says, wealth is the slave of the wise man and the master of a fool. Wealth is the slave of a wise man, but is the master of the fool. Now, money has no character. It just reveals our heart. You know, the Bible says where your treasure is, there your heart is also. And where your heart is, that's where your treasure's at. It's just a reflection of that. Ben Franklin said this, he that is of the opinion money will do everything may well be suspected of doing everything for money. Isn't that true? If you think money will do everything, you'll probably do everything for money. Make your money God, and it will plague you like the devil. That's so true. Life is not about money. Money is a means to an end. And you know, really, there's only about three things that you can do with money. You can give it, save or invest it, and spend it. Now, you can borrow it. That's why we have banks, isn't it? Or, you know, it's amazing the institutions in our society that revolve around money. We have banks. We have, investment institutions. We have all of those kind of things. And even the stock market revolves around money. And it's amazing how that the attitude in the market is driven by fear and greed. And we can hear something in the market. We can hear something in the economy, and all of a sudden it affects the market. Even before something happens, because it's driven by fear and greed. Fear and greed. Fear and greed. And it revolves around money. Money is so important in the society in which we live. And this is one of the reasons that God chooses money to prove us in the stewardship of His kingdom. If our attitude towards money is not right, our attitude towards most things in life won't be right. In fact, do I have to say that? Okay. Just having a little talk with my father here. The way that you handle money may be a reflection of your relationship with God. Now, I soften that a little bit. There's some areas that I want to talk about today, and it has to do with our character. See, we either trust God or we trust money. We trust God or we trust money. It's amazing how much, especially in the male, that his self-esteem is wrapped up in money. You say, how is that? Let a man lose his job and his source of income, and it's amazing how much his self-esteem is challenged. That our whole self-esteem has to do with what we own, what we have in a monetary system. Is that the way it's supposed to be? No. No. Our self-esteem is in our relationship with God. Can God provide for you if you lose your job? But in our system, the male psyche and the male ego, and maybe female too, I don't know. I'm not a female. I don't think like a female. Hush. Go on, boy, before you get in trouble. But I know how males think. It challenges them if they can't provide for their family like they are the providers. God is our provider. You know, the Bible tells us to work that we might have to give. It didn't say work that you might have to live. It says work that you might have to give. In fact, our giving should be our source of living if we understand the laws of the kingdom. That our living comes out of our giving. And that's not just money, that's everything. It's what you invest, it's what you give, it's what you sow that causes your living to come back to you. It's a lifestyle. What we're talking about is a lifestyle. And it's reflected in the way that we handle money. So one of the things that's really challenged is our self-esteem. Our self-esteem should not be in money. Then there's the thing of saving and wasting and spending and wasting. I wonder, you know, I challenged you last week to do a time log. Let me give you another challenge. Take a week and do a spending log and see how much money you waste. Well, Pastor, you know, I would love to give and support the church, and I would love to give to people who are in need, and I would love to be able to give offerings, but I just don't have it. Do a spending log and see where your money's going. You might be surprised at just how much money you waste. Now, y'all not shout. You know, if I was talking about prosperity, y'all'd be shouting. If I was talking about healing, you might be shouting or something. Well, what I'm talking about will produce everything that I'm talking about. See, we would love to be able to live unbridled lives and have the unlimited blessing of God. That's not the way it works, folks. God gave us a management, a stewardship. He blessed you with what you could handle. And He says, okay, handle it. I'm going to come back and you give an account for it. It might just be a little... On that day, the pucker factor may be pretty high. Can I say it that way? Especially if we have not been diligent stewards of the things that God has given us to manage in our life. So we trust God, we trust money, we save, we waste, or we manage, or we waste. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 7 says, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content." Now, He didn't say that's all you should have. He said we should be content with having what we need, okay? Because otherwise we get into this thing of lust and desiring other things. It didn't say that He wouldn't bless us with other things, but our attitude towards these things should be having food and clothing, and with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich, they desire to be rich, they fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, for which some have strayed from their faith in greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Honestly, I believe God is looking for people that He could make wealthy. You know why? Because those people have the right attitude towards wealth. They do not see it as God. They do not see it as their security. They see it as a means to an end. And they see it as a way of blessing other people. Can they live a good lifestyle? Yes. You know, I hear people criticizing ministries all the time because they make good money. I don't care. I don't care. I think people ought to be paid well. If you have a job, I think you ought to be paid well. I think Billy Graham should be paid well. If his ministry brings in $20 million a year, I don't see a problem with him making a million. Do you? Somebody got criticized the other day because their ministry owns some gas wells. I don't care. What is that? What are they doing with the proceeds of that ministry? Are they being good stewards? Are they feeding hungry people? Are they digging wells in foreign countries so that people can have water? Are they supporting ministries that go into prisons? Are they doing those things? With those are the things that we need to be concerned about. The media gives the idea that these guys who are bringing in all this money are spending it all on themselves. I don't care if they live good lifestyles, but they just need to be good stewards of what. If that gas well money is feeding poor people, praise God, I hope they get twice as many as they've had. That's called good stewardship. That's called managing assets. Why shouldn't a ministry have it rather than some greedy old dude that's all about himself and spending all of it, hoarding all of his money and helping nobody? I'd sooner that Brother Copeland have it than some miser have it, hadn't you? I'm preaching better than you're shouting this morning. Well, I just don't think ministry ought to be about money. You try to operate ministry without money and see how far you get. It takes a bunch of it to do it. You know, and a lot of times when we have that attitude, it reflects our heart. It reflects our heart. A lot of money has to flow through to get to. It flows through, but it gets to. When you support this church, it flows through us, but we try to get it to the places where it's going to do the most good. Amen. Okay, here we go. Go with me to Jeremiah chapter 22. Verse 13. It says, "Woe to him who builds his house by unrighteousness and his chambers by injustice, who uses his neighbor's service without wages and gives him nothing for his work." We are either going to be honest with money or we're going to be dishonest with money. See, money coming into your life really will show your character. Had a guy tell me one time, he said, "You know, I'm coming into this inheritance, and when I get it, the church is going to get its part." We never saw it. Because when it came in, he found a bunch of stuff that he wanted instead of doing what he said he was going to do. And it was his to do with it what he wanted to. I'm just telling you what he told me. It's easy to say what we would do with money if we had it. But let me ask you. I've often thought about this. What would I do if I had $1 million? What would I do? I could do this and I could do that and I could do that. And it's almost like I hear this voice saying, "What are you doing with what you have? Are you being faithful with what you have? If you're not being faithful with what you have, you would never be faithful with more." It's a reflection of our heart. Honesty or dishonesty. Psalms 112:5 says, "A good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion." We should use a lot of discretion in the way that we handle money. Proverbs 22:16, "He who oppresses the poor to increase his riches, and he who gives to the rich will surely come to poverty." It's all about our attitude towards things. It's about our attitudes towards money. Money has no character. It has no nature. It has nothing. It's neither good nor evil. It's our hearts. It's the effect of it on our hearts. It does much. Proverbs 11:1 says, "A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight." We all have opportunities to be honest or dishonest. What do you do when somebody gives you back too much change? "Oh, blessing from the Lord." Really? Are you honest and give it back? Yeah, if it's a dime, but what if it was $100? "Well, that's a blessing from the Lord." No, it's not a blessing from the Lord. He knew it was going to happen. He's going to say, wonder what Jason will do with that $100. Money proves us. Money shows where we are at in our attitudes. Okay. Now the next area that we want to talk about is, are we going to be generous or greedy? Generous or greedy? Proverbs 11:25 says, "The generous soul will be made rich." That goes against logic. The logic of the world says, get all you can all you get, and sit on the can. Make all the money you can, put it in the bank, let it draw, invest it, and sit on that can and hoard it. That's what the world says. But the Bible says that the generous soul will be made rich. It's when we learn to give as God directs us. I'm talking about offering. I'm not talking about tithes now. I'm talking about offerings. As God begins to direct us to sow in different areas, That's the generous soul. Well, if I give that, maybe I won't have. I won't have. Well, let me ask you the question. What does that say to you? If I give this, then I won't have. What's your source? Is your money your source or is your God your source? But if I give that, I won't have. I think that's a reflection where your trust is. If God directs you to do something, now God doesn't direct you to do something, don't do it. But as God directs you to do something, don't you think that He's smart enough that He knows what you need? And that very act of giving may be the door that He gets to you. In fact, it will be. It's called the law of seed time and harvest. Okay. Proverbs 15:27. He who is greedy for gains trouble. No. He who is greedy for gain troubles his own house, but he who hates bribes will live. Okay? So this is talking about, are we going to be generous or are we going to be greedy? Then the next area is money management. We either manage money or we waste money. Listen to this. Proverbs 6:6. Got to go fast. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which have no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer, gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, old sluggard? This is talking about a lazy person, isn't it? When will you rise from your sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep? So shall your poverty come on you like a robber and your need like an armed man. Are you going to, this is managing your time and managing your money. Are you going to be diligent where it comes to making money? Are you going to play? Or are you going to pay? You know, if you'll pay on the front end, you can play on the back end. But some people just want to play all the time. I tell kids going to college, you're paying now. You're studying. You're getting your degree. You're getting your education. You're sowing into yourself. There's a time that you have to make sacrifices. You're paying and you're sacrificing to get to where you want to be. And then you come into your day where you're making your living. You're making that. And you're increasing so that you can come to the day that you can play. People who play on the front end pay on the back end. People who will pay on the front end can play on the back end. It's how we manage our time and our money and all of those kind of things. And he says, don't be lazy about this. Don't be frivolous about this. Don't have a party attitude about everything. Sometimes you have to save. Sometimes you have to sacrifice. Sometimes you have to do this so that you can lay it aside. It's your attitude towards managing your money. Managing what's been put in your world. Okay, one more area, then we're going to quit. I want to have some prayer time at the end. I want my prayer team to get ready. Talk about get rich quick. We hear so much of that going on in our society. Life is not about get rich quick. We hear that all the time. Boy, you know, a $10,000 investment, and it's going to pay you 20% a month, and da-da-da-da. What's wrong with this picture? It don't work. You know how God is going to bless you? He's going to bless you by what He's put in your world. He's going to bless you by what He's put in your hand to do. If you're going to be a speech therapist, guess what He's going to use to bless you with? The thing that you've trained to do. That's going to be the thing that it's not going to be some little side thing over here that's going to produce something else. And there's nothing wrong with investing. I believe that we should invest. I think we should invest wisely. But it's not get rich quick. Now, I want to say this, and I'm not trying to be judgmental or anything. We have voted to have a lottery here in Arkansas. You may like that, and you may not like that. That's up to you. I don't play it. I could get addicted to it real fast. I know me. I can't eat one jelly bean. I have to have two. Okay? So I know. I was going to the Deer Woods the other morning, Saturday morning a week ago. I was on my way up to John's place. And I stopped at the service station here at before you get to Cave City. 5:30 in the morning. I go in there to get some coffee, something to tide me over till lunch. And there's this dude sitting there at this table at 5 crack of dawn, before the crack of dawn in the morning, scratching off these lottery tickets. What are people trying to do? They're trying to hit the jackpot. They like that. $2, make $1,000. How much does that happen? Is that God's way? We don't think so. Reader's Digest, sweepstake. I think Reader's Digest went broke. Maybe it's those sweepstakes that made him go broke. I don't know. But that's not God's way. I wonder how many people pray to win the lottery. Or how many people pray to win those dumb sweepstakes. Now somebody wins them. And if you look at history, it'll tell you that most of the people who win those can't handle it and are in worse shape in the end than they were when they... It was a curse to them because they couldn't handle it. The blessing of the Lord, it makes rich and He adds no sorrow to it. Okay? So it's not about get rich quick. It's about being diligent to manage what's in your world. Proverbs 28:19. He who tills his land will have plenty of bread. But he who follows frivolity will have poverty enough. A faithful man will abound with blessing, but he who hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. What's in your world? How do you handle the money that's in your world? It is a reflection of your character. Maybe we need to do a character check. Maybe we need to make some adjustments. Now next week, we're going to talk about tithes, offerings, and alms. We're going to talk about giving. We didn't talk about that because I wanted you to understand, first of all, that money has power in your life. And you need to choose and prioritize how you're going to deal with money. Let's bow our heads. We're going to ask our prayer team to come. And it's when I get through praying, we're going to invite you to come if you've got any kind of need in your life. It may have nothing to do with what we talked about today. You may need healing in your body. You may have some hurt in your life. Whatever it is, maybe you need to make Jesus Lord. We're going to invite you to come and do that. But I want to pray over this message first. Father God, thank you for your word. And Father, I just thank you that you are the provider of all good things. And Lord, your desire is to fill our lives with blessing, which includes money. But Lord, we also know that we don't own it. And it's our responsibility to love you with the way that we handle money. Teach us, guide us, and direct us that we can manage what you put into our lives. We thank you in Jesus' name. Now, if you're here and you need anything from the Lord today, right now is the time that you can come. We still got plenty of time for you to come. If you have any kind of need that you need prayer about, come at this time. Please remain in a prayerful attitude.